Christopher Steele went all over the United States trying to get media outlets to publish this garbage. The first thing is about the golden shower, about the sexual encounter that President Trump supposedly had in a Ritz-Carlton hotel in Russia. If you read this document, the first thing you would think of is they got something on Donald Trump. It is stunning, it is damning, it is salacious, and it's a bunch of crap. This is not normal. And the way we fix it is listen to Mr. Horowitz and get the director of the FBI in here to try to find out a way to make sure this never happens again to any politician in this country. It's Trump today, it could be you or me tomorrow. And imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if they can do this to the candidate for the president of the United States, what could they do to you?
Anyone can tell you the news.
We lock them diamond and silk.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up and it's going to be a face without the book.
A book without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia. And the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We lock them Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama. And that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
What could they do to you indeed? Hello, this is Michael Hart. You're listening to the Heart of America right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. We are together in yet another abbreviated week here on the program. Megan Barth is going to be joining us a little bit later on this morning to help us break down what's going on with this IG report. And, of course, the comments from Lindsey Graham just excoriating the media yesterday, as well as the participants within the hearing process as well. So we're going to continue to take a look at the Trump impeachment proceedings. We've been a little spotty in our broadcasting lately because, as you know, we are expanding this program. We are returning in about 2 weeks to a terrestrial signal, and there's been some prep work that goes into that. But you will be able to still listen to us online at Heart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net. If you are not in the Birmingham area, the live broadcast will more or less become the podcast. And then the podcast, as it's currently known, is going to become a little bit more along the lines of the unknown America aspect in terms of history, because too many people in this country are woefully unaware of the facts of this nation. And we're going to do everything in our possibility to teach people as much of that as we possibly can, because people simply need to realize that there is a lot in the news cycle that if you understand it, you'll have a better idea of, well, the history behind it. And that's what it all boils down to, because if we don't know our history, we don't know what's going on in the world around us. And if you're brand new to the program and we welcome you aboard, you might have just found this by accident, because, again, we've been a little bit spotty here lately. We try to break down the news of the day through the prism of the past. And one of the things we've talked about in the past is the impeachment of Bill Clinton, that of Andrew Johnson, the almost impeachment of Richard Nixon, and compare and contrast. And as Lindsey Graham points out, what we're seeing in D.C. today is so unbelievably far afield of what the process looks like, should look like, and that the founding fathers intended it to look like. And there's too many people in this country that simply do not have an understanding. And a lot of people, by the way, and dare I say it, even in conservative talk, a lot of people that don't have a clue about what the founding fathers were thinking, what they were talking about, what they were trying to accomplish. Because it's one thing to read the United States Constitution. It's something else entirely to read the Federalist, or the Federalist Papers, as they have more commonly become known in recent years and decades. So as we break down the news of the day, we will kind of veer back and forth and back and forth into the past, and you'll begin to see some of that in the podcast as we transition back to a terrestrial signal. Also, one of the things we love to talk about is, well, just this day in history, because in this particular edition, we are going to be talking about history, but we're also going to be talking about Karen Bass. Who, pray tell? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Karen Bass, she's a representative from California. Mm-hmm. Says she's willing to attempt to impeach President Trump again if he wins re-election in 2020. In a conversation with TMZ, the Media Zone's Harvey Levin, he hit Bass with a scenario in which Trump wins a second term, but Democrats take over the Senate from the Republicans, which ain't going to happen, but hey, you know, it's hypothetical. He said there's no such thing, really, as double jeopardy in an impeachment trial because it's political. Suppose he gets reelected, this is Levin posing this to Bass, and you win back the Senate in a big way. If you did that, would you be inclined to take a second bite at the apple and reintroduce the exact same impeachment articles and then send it through a second time if you have a Democrat Senate on your side? Bass responded, so you know, yes. So we're going to get a little bit more into that today. Her comments, her thoughts, and just the fact that that is utter proof that this is nothing more than a political hit job that is not going to go away. That might be bad news for the country. It's great news for people like me because it pretty much, well, it's, you know, instant show prep. Just add media, stir, and boom, you got a talk radio program. Because, you know, I've been in the media for many, many, many years, and I'm not talking about as a podcaster. I'm talking about as a syndicated talk radio host that was on multiple states. In multiple stations in multiple states for years. And I'm telling you, the media is full of crap. Graham points them out for being full of crap. Most of them don't know what the hell they're doing or what they're talking about. They don't verify or vet anything. You know, when I wrote the book Unknown America, which this program, by the way, is brought to you by the Unknown America Project, amongst others, such as the Land Report. When I wrote Unknown America, the writing of the book, because it was history, wasn't difficult to do. It was the verifying of what I was putting on paper. There's a lot of things that people just don't realize. For example, did you know that the Arch in St. Louis, Missouri is actually a monument to Thomas Jefferson? A lot of people don't know that. It takes a little splaining. And I was willing to do the research to prove my points before I put them into print. The modern day media simply does not do that. They just recycle and regurgitate, and they do it ad nauseum without any vetting whatsoever of reality. And so this is a reason why history matters, and history can be yesterday for that matter, or we can go all the way back to the founding of the country, or perhaps even 1787, when Pennsylvania becomes the second state to ratify the United States Constitution, just 5 days after Delaware became the first. Now, is that life-changing to you? Probably not. But it also goes back to the narrative that most people in America don't have a clue about what's going on in the world around them. Another thing that we've seen very frequently is discussions about where Trump and others come down racially speaking. And the Republicans, because of our Christian conservative beliefs, we are nothing more than a bunch of racist bigots, particularly if you're in the South. Well, did you happen to know, for example, it was on this particular date, that would have been the 12th day of December in 1870, when Joseph Rainey of South Carolina becomes the second black United States congressman? The first was Hiram Revels of Mississippi. Both of these guys got elected during the Reconstruction era in the Deep South by Republicans. Just little things like that, because the Republican Party is always painted as racist and bigoted. But even after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Republicans continued to prove their acceptance and openness towards black leadership and contribution to this country. But then again, you have the media that does everything in its power to posture, particularly the white Southern males, who were the ones that voted both of these gentlemen into these positions of power, as some kind of racist bigots. The media, and you can like it or not, I'm not talking about your local newscaster. I'm not talking about your local meteorologist. I'm talking about the national news industry. You've heard the military-industrial complex, where there's the media-industrial complex as well. And unfortunately, many people within it don't know they're a part of it. And that's why we get asinine, complete asinine coverage of events such as what's taking place on Capitol Hill, an event which has absolutely no possibility whatsoever of going anywhere anytime soon. But we do have so many of the comments, particularly from Lindsey Graham. He has accused the FBI officials who investigated the Trump campaign's ties to Russia of, quote, a massive criminal conspiracy. This was in a fiery opening statement yesterday for a hearing where the Justice Department's top watchdog testified. In a speech to kick off the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on FBI abuses, the committee chair said federal investigators made more than a few missteps and took the law into their own hands. Now, he went on to say what has been described as a few irregularities becomes a massive criminal conspiracy over time to defraud the FISA court. Now, for those of you that don't know, it's Foreign Intelligence Service Act court. These are the people that watch over any type of abuses from the United States and other governments, or anybody that might be spying, for example. That would be a FISA issue. This is the FISA court to illegally surveil an American citizen and keep an operation open against a sitting president of the United States, violating every norm known to the rule of law, because legal precedent matters in this matter. And, you know, if you turn on any conservative talk program in America yesterday, today, it'll happen all day long. You can turn on your Foxes of the World or Newsmax or whatever you want to watch. You're going to hear every person such as myself say the exact same thing. You're going to hear Sean Hannity say the exact same thing every day ad nauseum. Day after day after day after day. If I hear the name Carter Page one more time, I'm going to jump. I'm just going to jump. I'm not going to tell you anything on this program that you have not heard before, because every conservative talker in America knows it's a scam. And it's a crying shame. It truly is. And from somebody that likes to think of himself as a pretty respectable historian, I do not have a degree in history. I am self-taught in that particular issue, topic, research area, if you will. But I am absolutely, I'm not angry. I'm not appalled. I'm not incensed. I'm heartbroken. And I'm not even heartbroken because of the politicians that are trying to pull this crap. I'm heartbroken because so many Americans that are willing to elect them to pull this crap. Every single day, and this is probably the main narrative of this program outside of the historical narrative, every single day you're being lied to. All the people out there think, you know, we're going to get Trump impeached and he'll be out of office. And, you know, I think there was a poll that came out a couple of days ago that Hillary Clinton's leading the Democrat Party in popularity. Are you kidding me, folks? I mean, come on. Fat, drunk, and stupid really is no way to go through life. I consider myself a pretty smart guy. If these things were not so, I would not be telling you that they were. There is no bone in my body that allows me to articulate insults for the purposes of pissing you off. I have not allied myself with the Republican Party in terms of fandom. Frankly, I wrestle with my Republican, conservative, libertarian viewpoints every single day because I'm more or less a political mutt. I'm a social moderate. I don't care if a gay person marries a lamppost. Just don't force my pastor to perform the ceremony. But if you don't want to take the time, and I realize that those of you that I'm not immature or naive enough to believe or know or think that the majority of people listening to me don't already agree with me. I get that. Another reason I'm excited to return to a terrestrial signal, which for those of you that are local in the central Birmingham area, it will not be the old 101. It's going to be 92.5, and it'll happen sometime in January. There'll be an AM component and an HD component and a web component as well. More on that coming up later, and I don't mean today. Graham's frustration, which is very similar to mine, came out in comments that he made yesterday. I've got the audio, and I'm going to play it for you. But I don't want you necessarily to listen to what he says as much as I want you to listen to how he says it. There's an enormous amount of despair and frustration and anger in his voice. And that's because this is BS. You are living in a time in America where a political party in a very visual manner is doing everything in its power to destroy the President of the United States. Now, all impeachments by their very nature are partisan. We can talk about bipartisan participation all day long. Bull crap. They all have a partisan aspect to them. But in years past, there was at least agreement between both sides that something, air quotes, needed to be done about any sitting president. Impeachment was also a prevalent political tool in Europe prior to the founding of America, although oftentimes quite volatile in its approach. We seem to be going back in time, pre-America, to the way impeachments were conducted under the king. And it's rather disturbing. You are living in very historic times. You are living in a period where the media has been exposed for what it truly is. And frankly, much to your surprise, perhaps, always has been. In terms of politically speaking, I'm talking about the political media. I'm not talking about your local talking head that's going to tell you what damn schools are closing tomorrow because there's a snow flurry 100 miles away. I'm talking about the national political news reporters have been a shill of the Democrat Party for over, 200 years. I do not care if you believe me or not. It does not take a single hair off my ass if you don't. But it is the truth. And now, they no longer even try to act in a stealth manner. They no longer cloak their activities because they do believe, and frankly, in many cases, would be correct, they do believe that the majority of Americans are just that disengaged. I didn't say stupid. I didn't say ignorant of the realities. But too many Americans choose to not pay attention. It's simply easier to watch Dancing with the Stars or see who's on The Voice or try to figure out what in the hell is Gwen Stefani thinking. Gwen and Blake, oh my gosh, did you see what they said the other day? OMG. I cannot believe I lost 10 Instagram followers in the last week. Does this bikini make my butt look fat? Yeah, that's America today, folks. And these people vote. And that's where we are today. And because of that, you get this media circus taking place in Washington, D.C., and at least one senator, in the case of Lindsey Graham, is willing to call it out for what it is. If you want to be a dumbass, this is America. You have the right to be a dumbass. I, however, am going to implore you two things. Number one, do not vote. Number two, dear God in heaven, do not procreate. That would be a sin against nature. Here's Senator Graham on the Hill yesterday.
There's been a lot of media reports about your report before it was issued. And I remember reading all these headlines, lawful investigation with a few irregularities. Everything okay, low-level people kind of got off track. If that's what you get out of this report, you clearly didn't read it. If that's your takeaway, that this thing was lawfully predicated, and that's the main point, you missed the entire report. How do you get a headline like that? That's what you want it to be. You want it to be that and nothing more. And I can assure you, if this had been a Democratic president going through what President Trump had gone through, that would not have been the headline. The headline would be, the FBI takes law into its own hands. Biased agents cut corners, lie to court, ignore exoneration. So the first thing I want you to know is how the cake is baked here. And my goal is to make sure that people, when this is over, whether you like Trump, hate Trump, don't care about Trump, you look at this as more than a few irregularities. Because if this becomes a few irregularities in America, then God help us all. Now, the people that were in charge of this investigation were handpicked by Mr. McCabe, who is now CNN analyst, high up in the FBI, the number two guy. The first question I will ask in a bit, is this the best of the best? Are these people normal representatives of the Department of Justice and the FBI? I hope you will say no, because I believe it to be no. And if I believed otherwise, I would be incredibly depressed. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assume something for the sake of argument, that there was a lawful predicate to open up a counterintelligence investigation. And I want you to know the standard to open one up is about like that. And I also want you to know a counterintelligence investigation is not a criminal investigation. They're not trying to solve a crime. They're trying to stop foreign powers from interfering in America. That a counterintelligence investigation is designed to protect Americans from foreign influence. I want the American people to know there was an effort to affect Hillary Clinton's campaign by foreign actors. The FBI picked up that effort. They briefed her about it, and they were able to stop it. We will be receiving a defensive briefing tomorrow as a committee from the FBI to tell us all about what we should be watching for And they may be some specific threats against us. I don't know. But I know they're going to brief us to protect us, not to surveil us. And here's what I want every American to know. From the time they opened up Crossfire Hurricane till this debacle was over, they never made any effort to brief Donald Trump about suspected problems within his campaign. They had one briefing talking about, you know, the Russians are out there, you better beware. Nothing about Carter Page, nothing about Papadopoulos, nothing about the other people that they thought might be working with the Russians. Why did they not tell him that? I hope you can give us an answer.
Interestingly enough, this opening speech from Lindsey Graham was over, it was like 41 or 42 minutes. And it was completely extemporaneous, unscripted. I imagine he probably could have gone on for a couple more hours, because that's how much there is to this. And it's the clandestine aspect to it, the cloaked surveillance of not just the United States president, but an American citizen, that raises very serious questions. We have realized 1984 in the Orwellian sense. The only real difference is that the technology is such that you don't know you're being surveilled. And as Graham points out, it's remarkably scary. And as Karen Bass, a Democrat from California, a representative, points out, if we don't get him this time and he gets reelected, we'll get him next time. They're going to get him, folks. I don't know that it'll be successful. What you are seeing is the deep state fighting for its life. And they're doing so in very public full view. I know it's trite to say, but it does happen, and it happens all the time. And this notion that these things, they don't happen in America. No, things like this never happen.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Who's being naive, Kay?
Now I realize that that's just a line from a movie. But ladies and gentlemen, you can hate Donald Trump all day long, all right? I'm going to take a real quick break here in a moment. We'll take some calls on the other side. But I just want to make this one point. There was a TV program some years ago called The West Wing. Martin Sheen was president. Jed Bartlett. And a friend of his comes to the White House. And they're talking. This is an old friend, a childhood friend. And the friend asks him how he should address President Bartlett. And you got to bear in mind, these are childhood friends. And they're in the Oval Office. And Martin Sheen, as President Bartlett, looks at his friend and says, "You need to address me as Mr. President." And then he finishes up with, "Not out of respect for me, but out of respect for the office." You can be the most dedicated, ardent liberal Democrat in America, but you should be concerned that the office of President of the United States of America is under assault. it is under attack. It might be your team, but that does not exonerate you from guilt, or it certainly shouldn't. In the last couple of weeks, this has transcended Trump. Hear me. Hear me now. Trump might be the target, and it's not necessarily intentional that they're going after the office of the president, but they certainly are. It's a constitutional, from their perspective, attack on the presidency of the United States of America. And if successful, rest assured, in the future, it will become a political ploy and tactic of opposition parties to utilize in the future. Hopefully, future Americans will have the gumption to do what I preach every day and look to the past failings from history to yet again realize the courses that we have often chosen are not only incorrect and inappropriate, they are morally reprehensible and wrong. If you can't see this for what it is, if your hatred for Trump blinds you to the reality, let me state it emphatically that the United States of America and its senior executive, the Oval Office, the most powerful man in the world, supposedly, the position, not the man, the position, not the man, is under attack from political foes that would have absolutely no remorse whatsoever from screwing the living hell out of you at the exact same time if you ever got in their godforsaken way. Doubt that at your own risk. Heart of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support. The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a one-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land.
Does your home have a water problem? Poor drainage around your home can cause all kinds of headaches, disease-causing mold, cracks in walls, foundation failure, even roof leaks. At Alabama Water Management, we know that problems can often be fixed from where the water is coming from, outside. Our approach is less invasive and less expensive. So before you spend thousands on a potentially unnecessary waterproofing system, call Alabama Water Management for a free evaluation. Alabama Water Management. Don't waterproof, water prevent.
To schedule your no-obligation waterproofing, drainage, or foundation assessment, call Alabama Water Management at 205-362-6419. That's 205-362-6419, or visit us online at alah20.com.
Christopher Steele went all over the United States trying to get media outlets to publish this garbage. The first thing is about the golden shower, about the sexual encounter that President Trump supposedly had in a Ritz-Carlton hotel in Russia. If you read this document, the first thing you would think of is they got something on Donald Trump. It is stunning. It is damning. It is salacious, and it's a bunch of crap. This is not normal. And the way we fix it is listen to Mr. Horowitz and get the director of the FBI in here to try to find out a way to make sure this never happens again to any politician in this country. It's Trump today. It could be you or me tomorrow. And imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if they can do this to the candidate for the president of the United States, what could they do to you?
What could they? Think it doesn't happen? Ask Becky Gerritsen of Eagle Forum. She was the head of the Wetumpka, Alabama. How many folks listening to this program outside of Alabama have ever heard of Wetumpka? Wetumpka, Alabama. Town about the size of my office. She's the head of the Wetumpka Tea Party. Next thing you know, she's getting investigated by the IRS. Testified on Capitol Hill multiple times. Just about destroyed her life. Why? Because she was a Tea Party supporter in the Obama era. Doesn't happen, does it? Every time somebody's Twitter account loses followers or Facebook bans a post or bans you outright, puts you in Facebook jail or Twitter jail or LinkedIn jail. Of course, LinkedIn doesn't do that nearly as frequently. Where we are, folks. First and Second Amendments are under fire. Steele dossier, which is completely made up, paid for by the Clintons, and presented to you to the degree that you read it or have any idea what's in it, presented to the American public as factual. And now, predicated on that, as Graham points out, we are running the risk of tossing a president out of office. I would like to point out one thing, and then we're going to get to the phones at 929-477-3761. Andrew Johnson avoided expulsion from the Oval Office by one vote. Bill Clinton was impeached, not removed from office. Nixon walked. This country is almost 2.5 centuries old. We have never successfully removed a president from office. It is unbelievably, highly unlikely that it will happen here as well. But do you realize how extraordinarily rare this is? A lot of younger people might not. To say it in the only way I know how to say it, this is a big effing deal, folks. And you're here with a front row seat to watch a select group of elites try to overpower the most powerful office in the entire world, predicated on nothing more than a political bias and a fear of their political future. That's all I've got. Because if you can't see it for what it is, you do not deserve to live in this country. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Hey, Michael. I'm great. Yourself?
Little jazzed up, but I'm good.
Well, you know, you're exactly correct. It is a very big effing deal. And given that they have very, very low percentages or hopes of this being successful and removing him, you kind of got to start asking yourself what their real goals and objectives are. And I don't know, you know, is it just to cast aspersions on his presidency? It can't be to help him in the 2020 election. I don't know. And, you know, this business of they're going to keep coming. How many years Warner Brothers make them cartoons about the Roadrunner and the Coyote?
Yeah, good point.
There's a bunch. I ain't too worried about the Roadrunner so far. I think he'll be all right. Hey, Michael, the 17 irregularities that you had Lindsay talking about, consider this. Every single one of those irregularities went Hillary Clinton's way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that's 50-50 every time, right? If you and I got a penny out, and I said, Michael, let's flip a coin for a dollar, and then double or nothing every time after that. If it came up heads 17 times, you know what you'd owe me? $131,072. That's the odds of all 17 of those irregularities going Hillary Clinton's way. Kind of, I don't know. Seems improbable to me. How about to you?
Of course it does. The whole thing seems improbable. You know,
yeah.
It's you know, I hate to be so trite about it, but you know the old line, you know, where there's smoke. I mean, come on, Clark, you have to be really ignorant, or just have your head either in the sand or up somewhere, to not see this for exactly what it is. And you know, Jason, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that even Jason Chavez a couple of days ago and Ted Cruz have both made the remarks that somebody's going to leave these proceedings in handcuffs. I don't see it being Trump. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you can't see exactly the political wrangling and the maneuvering, and it's almost to the degree, at least it seems to me, that they have dug themselves such a deep hole that they're continuing the effort. It's kind of like when you get you have to go all my cousin Vinny on you. When you get that tire stuck in the mud and you just keep flooring it, hoping you're going to bounce out, you're not going to push the car out. So you just keep flooring it, and the car goes deeper and deeper. It gets muddier and muddier. That's what this thing is looking like. There's nobody to push this thing out. There's nobody to end it. There's no wrecker in sight. So all they can do is floor it, and they keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the muck. And I think that they've got to realize this. I refuse to believe they don't realize that this is going to blow up in their faces if they continue on. But maybe they are that desperate or that ignorant.
Think about this, Michael. You know, you and I, we're political junkies, and we know the players fairly well. Now, if you got to pick, somebody said, Michael, you get to pick two people from the 435 congressional representatives, and we want you to pick the two that can screw this thing up the worst if we have an impeachment kerfuffle. Name me somebody that could have messed things up worse than Adam Schiff or Jared Nadler. Maybe Maxine Waters, I don't know, maybe. Pretty much, you've got the two that are most capable of screwing this up doing this, right? Now, who got
if you look, if you look at their past, yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, pretty much Nancy gave them these jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you don't get to be Speaker of the House and maintain that position if you don't have a fair amount of political acumen and a certain amount of animal cunning, right?
Yeah, Pelosi's not stupid.
Right. So I kind of got to wonder, Michael, is Nancy really a great American? Did she wake up and realize how evil and despicable her party had become and decide to kill it by doing this? I got to wonder. I don't know. This thing is just not going well for him at all. Hey, I was reading this morning, and you had a clip of Lindsay talking about the whole Russia P-gate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and, you know, their constant thing they go back to is Donald Trump denying that the Russians interfered in our election. And I don't think Donald Trump has ever denied that the Russians interfered. He just said he didn't have any part in it. But I got to thinking about that. And, you know, Michael, the Russians are our enemies. And they have been. And, you know, I don't appreciate it. But the enemies of America are going to interfere in our elections if they possibly can. That's just kind of a given, isn't it?
Yep.
And then I thought, but this isn't Russia. This is our intelligence community. This is our FBI. This is our Department of Justice that are interfering in this. And then I thought back on that for just a second, and I said, well, wait a minute. Just go back up to your first thought. The enemies of America are going to interfere with our electoral process. And that's pretty much what we've got here, isn't it? I mean,
yep.
None of these
people. Well, you know,
people,
too many people don't realize, Clark, that the Russians have been, you know, we know that it goes back to Khrushchev, and it probably goes before that. You know, I don't think it permeated into the era of the czars, you know, which takes us all the way back to what, you know, 1905 or whatever. But as far as at least the 1960s are concerned, and possibly in the 1950s and 40s, we know post-World War II, the Russians have been all up in our stuff ever since. And even Khrushchev predicted the demise of the United States. Now, not exactly along the lines of what's going on now, but he was fairly close with the way this country would unravel. And they're playing it. You know, they're playing us like a fiddle. You know, all the, you know, Ukraine is not Russia. You know, I mean, it's you know, was once part of the USSR. But, you know, we're having these conversations that don't even make any sense in this country. And the Russians are just convenient. But you know something? It's the Democrats that are getting played by the Russians because they're eating this stuff up.
Well, I cannot figure. I can figure a lot of them. I can. You know, Hillary, to her, the leftist ideology was a pathway to power. The true believers, though, I swear, it's harder for me to understand the believers than it is the ones that are just taking advantage of that situation. I mean, seriously, how stupid do you have to be to think that any of this leftist policy can possibly work? And yet they keep advancing it and advancing it. And I don't understand. All you have to do is look anywhere it's ever been implemented, or heck, just go look at San Francisco right now. It does not work.
Well, Clark, you know, I think in a lot of sense it goes to the emotional desire of people because, you know, one of the things, and we've never really discussed this on the air, but, you know, you have a lot of people in relationships in this country, abusive relationships, and they stay in them. You know, even the rebel pundits, I think I've got that audio around here somewhere. Maybe I'll play it. You know, talking about the inner cities, for example, but you have this political codependency of people in this country, and they want to believe it over and over again, but they stay in these abusive relationships because, you know, although their spouse or their significant other or whoever might beat the hell out of them from time to time. Then they come home with roses and the, oh, baby, I'm sorry, it'll never happen again. And the abused spouse, whether it's the husband or the wife, takes them back yet again and forgives them because they do believe in the better angels of their nature. And then when you start passing this down generationally speaking, because grandpappy always voted Democrat or Republican or whatever the case may be, you have this generational political codependency that people can't seem to break free from. And they want to believe it because it sounds good. It sounds juicy. It sounds romantic and flowery and sexy. But see, they also have no – that's why this program is about history. They have no historical reference. You know, we were talking a few weeks ago about global warming. Well, what about those of us that are old enough to remember literally the stories of the killer bees coming or the coming ice age? We were never supposed to get to 2000 without freezing our nuts off. We were all going to die in an iceberg storm. Now, all of a sudden, that didn't work. So we got, you know, we got global warming. But see, global warming is only disputable to those that remember how global freezing didn't work. If all you know is the chatter about global warming, then it seems a viable conversation and an argument. And that's the problem we have in this country, is that people do not, George Santayana, remember the freaking past if they ever knew it at all. And you see this in this political codependency class that we have.
Well, kind of gets Orwellian there.
It definitely does.
Where you can just change the narrative day to day. You know, going back to what their goals and motivations might be, do you think the left, do they understand that they're looking at the end of things being the way they've been for them? I mean, you know, you stop and consider, Michael, they control the schools. They control the media. What don't they control? Universities, et cetera, et cetera. And they still can't get better than about 43%.
Clark, they things also not, control they control the music industry. They control Hollywood. They control every mechanism that is able to communicate a point, whether it be through song, entertainment, or just, you know, political diatribe. They control every political, social, economic, and entertainment delivery point. And they still do not come out on top because their thoughts and their viewpoints are that asinine.
Their ideas are that bad. Now, you know, when you look at what's happening during the presidency of Donald Trump, you've got the federal judges. It's a matter of time until he's going to end up with maybe 4 or 5 Supreme Court justices if he gets a second term, probably. And that's going to really drive him insane. The block voter that they, you know, the different blocks of voters that they have been able to just steadfastly rely on, I don't know that it will be a trend that will continue after Donald Trump, but they're fixing to lose control of the block votes to the point where they're going to have a very difficult time. I just kind of wonder, are they going for chaos here? Is that their goal?
I think social anarchy or you know, some form of social unrest is almost got to be the goal, because nothing else that they're doing makes any sense, you know, whatsoever. You know, I've got an article here about CNN. You know, they when Lindsey Graham started to speak, you know, they went to other programming. Eric Holder gets in the middle of this. He's calling out, you know, Bob Barr for his loyalty to President Trump. Well, the AG typically is loyal to his president. Then you got Karen Bass over here, you know, saying that she's going to open to impeaching President Trump if he gets reelected. So you've got, you know, story after story after story here where it's obvious what's going on in the national news media. And so, you know, you got Bass and Holder and all these people that are coming out of the woodwork because it's about them attacking the Republican right. And again, as you point out, you know, much to their despair, but they can't seem to get it through their head. But then again, you know, we also have 4, not 3, not 2, not 1, but now 4 different polls that say that Trump's popularity amongst African Americans is north of 34%. He doesn't need it to be above 15% to win re-election. Now he's sitting at 34%.
He's approaching 50% with Catholics.
Yeah.
You know, the block votes that they have just been able to solidly rely on, they're going away. You touched on the Attorney General. And don't you know that we're about to see a full court press vilification of William Barr?
Sure we are. Sure we are.
Have to get out of that. Hey, it's about time for you to get ready for me. So I just got one question. We're about 2 weeks out on the new thing?
Right after the first of the year. We're actually going to be up there doing some preliminary work Monday. It won't be live, but, you know, it's going to be me and Beeson. We'll be on this new station. It's 92.5. It'll kick off officially the first week of January.
92.5. So can I iHeart Radio them or something?
Well, iHeart's an independent company, but, yeah, there will be an online component as well.
Something like that? Okay. Okay. The only reason I know how to do what I'm doing talking to you is because you're no longer on a terrestrial signal. So this is all very new still. You've drugged me into
the future. It's the future of radio, Clark. You probably will not be able to pull the 925 signal that far north, but there will, you know, even don't even be a player on the heartofamerica.net website. And, you know, it'll be on Facebook, and you'll be able to find us. Trust me.
I can still listen on what I'm listening on right now then.
Yes.
Well,
but every day.
Well, you tell Miss Martha I said, hey, and you keep doing it, and I'm looking forward to the other.
Thanks, Clark. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, we do have an anticipated date with Megan Barth here in just a few moments, and I wasn't going to do this today, but I do want to play this for those that might have not ever heard it before. This is the Rebel Pundits. It's a group of four or five older black men in Chicago talking about what Clark brought up with in the block voting and the fact that these inner city politicians in particular have been lying to them for many, many, many years. If you are a Democrat and you think that your party is doing what is best for you, San Francisco, inner cities, whether you're a minority or not, listen to these guys. These are four gentlemen that have been there, done that, lived through it, and they are giving you a clarion call to wake the hell up.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep vote Democrat. You know, look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community? They always talk about black on black crime. And when you hear the word black on black crime, the first thing you think of is a black man robbing you, a black man breaking in your house. And that is a black on black crime. But let's take it one step further. There's a black on black crime in down in City Hall. There's a black on black crime down in all the state capitals in America where black folks are voting against our interests, where black folks are voting and making us, we're getting poorer and poorer, and other groups are getting richer and richer. Everywhere you go, there's poverty in black areas.
This lot where I stand at right now, Ida B. Wells, public housing residents live at. Most of the people are homeless living in the street. And it's because of you, Mr. President.
In Detroit, where your leaders at? There's no white folks running Detroit, cutting water on black folks in Detroit. Them black folks running that city. Ain't no white folks doing that. Them black folks going along with that. Everything's happening in our community is black leadership doing this.
Our children know that if the Democrats have not done anything for us as of yet, why should they even go out and vote? What agenda is on the table that's going to change their life?
The only thing they're offering the black community is abortion on demand. This is what the president asking for us to vote for.
Now he wants to have this conversation about minimum wage raise because he knows that this is the way to get a lot of the poor people's attention. But to hell with his minimum wage raise. We don't have any jobs. A minimum wage raise for what?
They're not pushing a black agenda. They're not pushing a family agenda. They're pushing a neoliberal agenda.
Across this city, in these major Democratic cities, this is what it looks like.
How can the same process happen over and over again, and nobody got nothing, can't do nothing about it?
Black leadership is abusing us. The Democratic Party is abusing us.
It's the same way in every black community across the country.
And they force us into a life of welfare. We don't want no welfare. We want opportunities to go to work. We want opportunities to own business. They bailed out all of the major banks and these big investors, but left the people starving.
There are no tea parties in your city.
We don't have those people. We have a major Democratic machine, and the majority of them, they look like me. These are the people who make sure we get nothing, but then turn around and have us to vote for them again.
They only come around when it's time for election. When they think they can give you a toy or give you a turkey or something, and then everything is good.
Hundreds of millions of dollars are coming down from the federal government. But the money is going to all these special interest groups. My brother's keeper went to his friend. This whole corrupt democratic system that gobbles up all the dollars and starves the people out. Can you all look around your community and see any change that will come about with these hundreds of billions of dollars that will come through our city? No, you cannot. What we do see is our elected officials riding around in new cars, and they have new homes.
When our people don't have jobs in our community, when we don't have any vital resources, when all the deals been cut and all our people are left out, this is where we end up.
And we got the most important thing that we got that we can stop all this. Everybody got a vote. And if you use your vote wisely, you can stop a lot of this stuff.
When this gentleman says this is where we end up, he's standing in front of a prison. The president they're referring to is Obama. These are four African-American men from Chicago, but they're speaking for other groups as well. Because although you might have political oppression in the African-American community in the inner cities, you also have it in the Latino communities. You have it in some of the rural Democrat communities. It happens across the country. But regardless of the face of the oppression, the face of the oppressors are almost always exclusively within the Democrat Party. That's why when I opened the program up today, I made the comment that I wasn't pissed off, I wasn't angry, that I was heartbroken. Because there are too many people in this country that don't get it, that aren't paying attention to it. And that's one of the reasons that we do this every single day in some form or another. And as you guys know, I've been pretty spotty on this broadcast because we are returning to a terrestrial signal literally in less than 3 weeks. Now, that means those of you in central Alabama will be able to listen to us in your car, your truck, your van, your motorcycle, however, on your radio. However, the online broadcast aspect of the program will remain right where you're listening to it right now, regardless of where you're listening to it. And the reason we're doing this is the terrestrial signal is that we feel as though the clock is ticking. No, not for global warming, but it's time that we get very, very, very aggressive, not just me, you as well, in preaching to those around us that the future, and how many times have you heard me, those of you who have been listening to me any length of time, how many times have you heard me declare that I thought the future of the Republican Party was in the African-American community? It was for Senator Rainey in 1870, the second black elected to Congress by Republicans. It was for Hiram Revels in Mississippi, the first African-American elected to Congress as a Republican. It is time, and I'm speaking specifically to the minority voters in this country, to get your head out of your ass and realize what this particular administration has done for this country for your future, for your present. All the Democrats, as these four guys point out, all they've got is handouts. And the handouts aren't working, so the attacks against this administration have begun and will continue unabated until he leaves office. And the only way to prevent that and to assure your bright future is to stop voting for these jackaloons who have nothing to offer you other than despair and dependency. People like myself and our very good friend Megan Barth have been screaming this at the top of our lungs for years. I'm always delighted when Thursdays roll around because we get to spend a little time with America's, I don't know if she's the female drudge or not this week. We'll find out, but put your hands together for Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I love to listen to you just for the last few minutes. I'm glad that you're on the trying to smack around some people to wake them up. That's good. That's what you always do, though, every day, but specifically the minority community. And I really think that we are on a precipice of breaking that stranglehold that the Democrats have had on a variety of communities, not only the African-American community, the Hispanic community, perhaps if the females would get their head out of their ass and not vote with their uterus. And I think it's coming around. So anyway, good to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. I know that you've been traveling a lot, and of course the holidays going on, and we've been kind of spotty in what we've been doing because we're going back to a terrestrial tower in January. And so, you know, we'll continue to do this program, but, you know, we are really, you know, excited to be able to start, you know, screaming at the top of our lungs on a regular radio. And the only thing I got to caution myself about, Megan, is the fact that, you know, we can get away with a lot more online than we can on the radio. So, you know, and so this is my opportunity to scream at people to get them to wake up. And I'm so proud of saying that it seems like a lot of people are, because what's going on Capitol Hill right now, and the comments from Lindsey Graham and others, it's mind-numbingly obvious to people such as you and I of what a political hatchet job is being perpetrated against Trump. But I don't think enough Americans realize that it's a hatchet job against the Oval Office, the presidency, and by extension, the country as a whole. What is it going to take to get people to understand what's going on?
Well, unfortunately, it would take a honest media, and that's something that has long left us, and it's gotten so bad that they literally convinced, I would say probably 30%, because there's always 30% of the people that seem to be absolutely, they don't know where they are, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what the history, it's always about 30%, you can just write off 30% of the country, that are convinced and had been convinced that President Trump actually was an agent of Putin. I mean, that, you want to talk about a conspiracy theory. That is the conspiracy theory. And this is where the Alinsky rules come in, where the Democrats always accuse us exactly what they're guilty of. So they're saying that, you know, our allegations of a coup and the deep state you know, all of the, and James Comey, you know, trying to overthrow the president and Barack Obama spying on the president, all of that was a conspiracy theory. Well, and in fact, all of that is true. So it would have to take a mainstream media that was actually objective and honest and one that was dedicated to, you know, ethics, integrity, honor, the truth, you know, those types of things that they're supposed to be dedicated to existed, and it simply doesn't exist. And so how the Democrats have gotten away for the last 3 years of this sabotage, treason, espionage, sedition, et cetera, and I don't use those words lightly, that is exactly what happened. They got away with it because the press, instead of covering them, provided cover for them. And the power of the press is so great that it's nearly like a tool of brainwashing. I was trying to think what syndrome that was. You know when you get kidnapped And then all of a sudden you fall in love with your kidnapper.
Yeah, the Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome. It's nearly like the 30% of the country or some of the Democrats, et cetera, have been kidnapped by the press, and they've fallen in love with whatever the press wants to feed. And I travel quite a bit, and I'm around, and I'm talking to a variety of people. Like, I don't have a problem talking to strangers. It's never been my problem. And, it's amazing what the feedback you get from a variety of people, all colors and ages. Most of the people I talk to, and I'm not running in just Republican circles, the polls are proving me right, too, is that they don't believe this impeachment nonsense. And that's reflective in the polls, where 70% of independents don't want impeachment. At least that was a week or two ago. And that's up from 46%. So a majority of independents don't want impeachment. You see that 50% of Hispanics like this president. You see that 30% of blacks actually have a positive approval rating of this president. So you were talking about the minority community. If Donald Trump got 20%, 18 to 20% of the black vote, the Democrat Party would be finished. Finished. Kaput. They don't have enough crime. They don't have enough illegal aliens. They don't have enough ballot stuffing, harvesting, all of the iterations of voting process that lends them the small marginal wins to overcome that shift. So I don't think a majority of the American people are buffooned by the buffoons. But I think that there's enough of them because we have a press that is corrupt, just like the Democrat Party.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And what's really interesting or kind of frustrating from my perspective is that when I tell people, whether it's on the air or in, a public speech or, however I might communicate it, that the press is full of crap, Megan, I'm telling that to people from the perspective that I'm in the press. I don't think people realize that, I am outing my own industry. I see it for what it is. Trump was speaking at some event, it's been about a year ago, and I'm actually in the press pool, and I'm sitting in this area that's, it's dedicated, for the reporters to come in, and it happens to be empty. And I'm sitting there in one of the chairs, and this woman walks up to me, and she goes, "So you're going to have to move over here. These seats are reserved." And I'm like, "I'm waiting for the president to speak. Shut the hell up and get out of my face." Didn't say that, but I thought it. But anyway, all of a sudden I turn around, and here comes this long line of young kids with laptops and iPads and whatever they carry. They were the ones sitting in those chairs, and they were interns, and they represented, The Onion and Snopes and whoever. They came in a big, long bus, and this was their little territory to sit in. And while the president's speaking, they're typing them as fast as their greasy little Greta Thunberg fingers will allow them to report on the president. And I'm listening to them talk to one another, and half of them aren't even listening to what Trump's saying, but they're typing away and populating website after website after website. That's just one example of where the press is in this country today. And, of course, you do have the people such as Megan Barth and Michael Hart and Rush Limbaugh and that cadre of right-wing conservatives. But the media, I don't think people really realize that the media, for the most part, really does think like MSNBC and CNN. And you see that in the fact that CNN opts out and goes back to regular programming the moment Lindsey Graham attempts to open his mouth yesterday. If that's not an obvious bias, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and there's nothing, sometimes it feels the power of the media, we understand, as far as it saturates our airwaves, the headlines, and that's one of the reasons why I started, years ago my website was because I wasn't seeing truth in the headlines. I was seeing simply just regurgitated Democrat talking points that were salacious, that were untrue. And then maybe, you know, on the 96th paragraph of the article, you'd find the scintilla of truth. So it's just what they call that is propaganda. And so I think from a historical perspective, and this is something that my grandfather bestowed upon me, is when I didn't know something, he said, go look it up. And it was the Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember the Encyclopedia Britannicas? I didn't have, you know, we didn't have the web to go just, you know, instantly find. And I said, well, I don't know how to spell it. Well, go figure it out. Right? So that type of lesson that I learned from him was always kind of like the not just trust but verify, like go find out. But it caused me to research. It caused me to go find things. Then upon finding what I wanted to find, I would find other things. And so it opened up a world of information. And then Encyclopedia Britannica's were beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous books, like better than National Geographic, you know, just the colors and all that. So I learned at a very early age to find out and question. You know, don't believe everything you're told. Go look it up. What makes the web interesting is that when you look it up, you really have to be weary of who exactly is writing the article, where the article is coming from, how it's sourced. Is it single sourced? Is it double sourced? Is it anonymously sourced? And so we've got this, unfortunately, this dumbing down of the press who doesn't tell everyone to go look it up. I mean, I was watching Chris Cuomo, unfortunately, the other day, talking about the 400-page IG report. And he's basically saying that nothing's in there when everything is in there. The press has been telling us now for the last 3 days that there is nothing in the IG report. When in fact, the IG report is the most damning. Now, granted, it doesn't make a criminal referral because that's not the job. But it sets up all the criminal referrals. It uncovers the fact that actually the dossier was the predicate to launch the counterintelligence spy operation. And then I'm watching Maggie Hirano or whatever her name is and all of the Democrats in unison, like the parrots that they are, parroting the same talking point during the trial or hearing the other day saying, well, there wasn't any spying, right? There wasn't any spying. Well, it doesn't say spying in the report, you chucklehead, as you say, but what the inspector general said is that there was illegal surveillance. Okay. So if you look up, if I go look up, like my grandfather used to tell me in the thesaurus or the dictionary and or the Britannica, under surveillance, guess what? The thesaurus would tell me that that means spying. And if it's illegal spying, that's bad. That means that the law was broken because it's illegal. So the IG report basically tells us that the Steele dossier was the predicate to open the counterintelligence operation, otherwise known as the illegal spying operation or the illegal surveillance operation or whatever sort of term that the Democrats would like to use. But as long as it's not spying, I guess it didn't occur. And so they play these word games and they try to play these games to just manipulate and deceive the ignorant. And the press, what is vital to this republic, vital, we will not survive without it, is an educated populace. It's a knowledgeable electorate. That is what is key to the survival of this republic. So the press is tearing down this republic by dumbing down the public and not reporting exactly what is in the report, but just telling us, like Chris Cuomo, that something's not in there. And he's like, well, go read it. Go look it up. Go look it up. You know, go read it. That's what he says. Yeah, you think that the average American is going to pick up the 400 pages in their spare time of providing for their family or going to school or going to work and reading it? No. So the American people rely on the press to be their arbiters of truth and deliver the information. And the mainstream media, along with the Democrats, have told us for 3 years that the Steele dossier was not the predicate, that Donald Trump is a Russian agent, that Donald Trump slept with Russian hookers and partook in some deviant sexual behavior. That's the conspiracy. Who makes up crap like that? The Democrats.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's what Graham, you know, that's what he spoke to yesterday in his opening statements. And I'm perplexed about the, you know, the conditions that we're seeing in terms of the electorate, because you're exactly right about that. That's one of the things that even the founding fathers expressed concern about, is that as we moved further and further and further away from the Constitution and what it was really, you know, designed to do, that not only would we lose our educational compass, we would lose our moral compass. And we're also seeing that take place as well, because their definition at that time of morality was more expansive than the modern day version of it. They considered service to country and country first a moral duty. And there are just so many people in this country. And they were also, even Jefferson spoke to this, Megan, very, very, very suspicious of the press, even in those days, because they understood the power of the pen and being able to put something in writing, reduce it to writing, and have potentially thousands, if not tens of thousands of people reading what was oftentimes nothing more than mere opinion. And now in this country today, we see how far we've come. People that don't realize that impeachment doesn't mean removal. People that don't realize how unbelievably rare, and that it's never even been successful in terms of removal. But yet you have people running around like, you know, like their damn heads are cut off, like a chicken with their ass on fire, demanding his ouster, and yet they can't even tell you why. You know, people, it's like back when we first invaded in Afghanistan, and you had Peter Arnett and the Scud Stud, and, you know, they were over there, you know, covering the battles in the Middle East and Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, and people would come and turn on the TV every night at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whenever it came on, and watch General Schwarzkopf kicking the Republican Army's ass over in Iran. And it became almost like it was a nightly primetime sitcom or satire or whatever. And now we're seeing something similar with this trial, where people are just, they turn it on as though it's entertainment, but unfortunately they view it as though, you know, with absolutely no vetting whatsoever. And they take it at face value, what the Democrats say, and then the CNNs of the world don't allow for counterpoints or counter arguments, and they accept it again as face value to help shape and form their opinions. The media, as I've said thousands of times, and you've heard me say it, is an entertainment industry. And they will do everything in their power to capture ears and eyes, even if it means taking down a president of the United States and putting this country at risk. And there are too many dumbasses in this country, Megan. You're right about the 30%. We're never going to get to 30%, but we do have to awaken the minority groups who have been the victims of these policies and programs for well over the last couple of hundred years, and they don't even realize it in many cases, but certainly since Reconstruction. And if we can awaken them to what's really going on in the world around us today, we will win the day and hopefully run these jackasses out of office once and for all. Sorry for the rant.
Yeah, that needs to happen. You know, last night I was at the gym, and I usually go about the same time, and there's an older guy who I know is from Minnesota, who moved to Vegas years ago. And he overheard a trainer that I talked to, politics. And he's like, "You're a Trump fan?" And, you know, I said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "I love the guy." And he goes, "I do too." And I said, "Oh, well, welcome home. Nice to meet you." And he goes, "Yeah, I was," he goes, "I moved from Minnesota." And he goes, "I was a Minnesota Democrat." He said, "I never voted for a Republican in my life." He said, "I'm a Teamster, so I still get a pension." He said, "And the only Republican I ever voted for was Trump." And he said, "And if I could vote for him more than twice, I would." I said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, Dick, you're not alone." I said, "There are millions of you." Because what the Democrats, and why the Democrats are freaking out, is because of people like Dick, the guy that I was working out with, you know, at the gym. They're losing a lot of their base. Whether that, you, if you look at the numbers from the Trump rallies, and Brad Parscale, who is, I guess he's the campaign manager for Trump, or he's a digital genius. but nonetheless, usually publishes the demographics of the Trump rallies in percentages. And I think it was not in Hershey, but it might have been in Florida or the rally before that. And I don't know if that was in Minnesota or where that was, but nonetheless, 38% of the audience were Democrats. 38% of a Trump in the Trump rally were registered Democrats. And so this is why we see that the Democrat Party's reaction. It's not only to cover up their own corruption, because I've long asked, why do they want to commit Harry Caray on Ukraine? Obviously, something's going on in Ukraine. If they tried Russia, that didn't work. They tried the emoluments clause. No one knows what the hell they're talking about. They tried hookers. They tried bimbo eruptions. They've done a shotgun method against this president, hoping something will stick. But where they really lost their marbles was Ukraine. And I asked somebody the other day on air, and I'll ask you too. Joe Biden's job, not only as vice president, but he was tapped to root out corruption in Ukraine. That's what he was tapped to do. So knowing that Joe Biden is supposed to go root out corruption in Ukraine, why would Joe Biden allow his son to walk into Ukraine and walk out with millions of dollars? Now, I don't know if you have a son, but if you have a kid, but would you, if you walk into a company and know the company's rotten, you know from the top down, and historically, this company that you're walking into to clean it up has been rotten. After CEO after CEO after CEO, it's poison. Would the first thing you do is take one of your kids into that poisonous company and allow him to walk out with millions of dollars, knowing that those millions of dollars are coming from a poisonous company? No, not unless you were a crook too. So what the hell is Joe Biden doing? Right. Thank you. It's really that simple. Joe Biden was supposed to root out corruption in Ukraine. Why would he let his own son, knowing that this country was corrupt, walk in and walk out with millions of dollars?
Well, perhaps it was because he couldn't do it himself.
Right. But the money is tainted. That would just be like I said, you walking into a company knowing that it's corrupt, it has accusations of embezzlement, money laundering, you know, fraud, you name it. And just saying, oh, don't worry, son, just take the $3 million out of the vault back there. I'm sure that little money is clean. Of course not. So this is what I want to see, and this is when I don't trust Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham says the other day, before yesterday, he says, well, we want to put this behind us. We want to hurry up. I don't want to subpoena Adam Schiff's phone records. Why not? Why do you want to hurry? The Democrats want to hurry. Why in the hell do you want to hurry? I don't want to hurry. I want to see a perp walk. I want to see all of the bad actors in the deep state, all of the people responsible for trying to overthrow a duly elected president, otherwise known as a coup, otherwise known as sedition, otherwise known as treason. I want to see all of them lined up in the Senate, in the trial, and I want to hear them sing. And I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if it's 8 months, 9 months. I don't care if it's 2 years. I want to see Alexander Chalupa, Eric Shiramella, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Samantha Powers. I want to see every single person questioned. So I don't want to hurry.
I hear you. But I couldn't possibly agree more.
And that's one of the problems. That's the only problem that I see that we have. And I don't know who appointed Lindsey Graham or how he got the title of head of the Judiciary Committee, chair of the Judiciary Committee. He can be replaced.
Right. Well,
if
absolutely.
He's willing to do it, he can be replaced.
Well, if we learned anything from Jeff Sessions and his ouster, then we need to have some very strong leadership in the Republican Party. because this does need to be brought to fruition, and heads do need to roll, and people do need to go to jail, because at the end of the day, all the deep state's really doing, all the swamp is really doing, is proving that, in fact, they are actually much worse than even we had originally thought, and that has been the status quo in this country for far too long, and people need to pay dearly. Megan, unfortunately, I'm out of time. The clock's about to run out on me. Tell folks how people can find Megan Barth and get on your mailing list and all that good stuff.
ReaganBabe.com. Reagan, ReaganBabe.com. And sign up for my weekly newsletter. I am the female drudge. Every day I update the website with little tidbits that you probably don't see anywhere else.
Well, I definitely know that's right, and I've been getting it for the duration of the time that you've been putting it out, and it's good stuff, and I learn a lot from you each and every day, and I'm real excited that here in a couple of weeks we'll be back on a terrestrial tower, and you can also come join us on there as well if you would so like. So thank you so much for everything you do, and I'll drop you a text message for the next time we're going to get together. I know that holidays are getting tight on us as well, so hopefully we can get back together next Thursday. But if not, we'll just plan on the first of the year, whatever that might look like. But I'll contact you in the next few days.
Very good, Michael. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Megan. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Go check out ReaganBabe.com. That's ReaganBabe.com. Really and truly, for whatever it's worth, pay attention to what's going on around you. Heed the warnings of the rebel pundits. Heed the warnings of Megan Barth, all the people that make this program possible, the other places that you listen to it. It really is that bad. Democrats, I'm not going to try to flip you. I'm not going to try to convert you, but I am going to ask you to do your due diligence and be open to the realities. No, I'm not saying the Republican Party is pristine. Quite frankly, no party is. But it is definitely a better alternative to what you have been fed over the course of the last several decades of your life. So just take another look, even if it's just a matter of being independent. Just don't, if you are a minority, just don't blindly vote for Democrats because you think they're going to do something for you, because quite frankly, they never have. You don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do is look at your own accomplishments, your own lives, and the condition of our inner cities. And by the way, the condition of our inner cities is not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's not a Latino thing, it's an us thing, it's an American thing. We are this country. The Lord says that the people are the church, not the building. Well, let's act like we are all in this together, all Americans together. Let's take this country where we want it to be. Let's take this country back from those that would steal our birthright from us for their own political gain and advancement. Yeah, it's a lot to chew on. It's a lot to think about. But if you don't do it for yourself, at least do it for those that will come after us. And, of course, that's going to be your children, your grandchildren, and the future of America. That's it for us. We're out of here. Keep an eye on our social media platforms over at LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the next edition of the program. Until we get this terrestrial thing all squared away, we're going to be kind of in and out and in and out in terms of when we're broadcasting. But you will be the first to know. You've been listening to The Heart of America with your host, Michael Hart, right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Until next time.
Hello, boy. Oh, my God.
Hello, boy. BK, boy. This thing is credit, but it's debit. Hit that shorty once and I forget it. Big boss, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries. Sippin' Hennessy or Dirty Sprite. Doing 180 down the time tide. She on her cell phone, I'm feeling.
I'll be back.